This is author and podcaster Tansy Rayner Roberts from Tasmania, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Too Much Scrolling for September 12th, 2023. I'm Steve Foder.
I'm Chip Essenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, Chip, pumpkin spice is in the air. You mentioned it last week. Pumpkin spice is everywhere. And now the colors are changing. It's September 12th. Summer is almost over.
You say summer is almost over. Yeah, we probably have a few more weeks, right?
I declared summer over like a month and a half ago because I went back to school. But now it's almost over.
Well, you know what? It's the beginning of the end, Steve. Pretty soon, it'll be autumn.
Yes.
By the way, it is still very hot here.
It's lovely here. Welcome to Chicago. It is lovely. Mm-hmm. If the weather stayed like this, they would have to charge us more taxes.
Film at 11
brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Oh boy, Chip, you have something exciting to share with us this week. You went to the Alamo Drafthouse and saw Cat Video Fest 2023. Please tell us all about this phenomena.
See, somebody had to do it. Somebody had to review this.
Tell us about the crowd first. Was this a full crowd?
It was not a full crowd, Steve.
Oh.
It was a modest crowd.
Oh.
With a lot of people cackling. So those people who really like cat videos, Steve, they like cat videos.
Tell us about Cat Video Fest.
In your mind, Steve, you're picturing an hour and a half of cat videos. You know, 15 to 30 seconds clips of cats doing different things and being recorded
and performing.
And Steve, you're exactly right. That's exactly what it is. In theory, it sounds like it would be fun, but it wasn't as fun as I thought it would be. I was ready for it to be over, Steve, at some point, and it did end, and I was very happy. I'll say 40 out of 100. Yes, there are some funny cat videos. Yes, cats can be cats. But at the same point, you know, that's an hour and a half of my life I'll never get back. And those people there that enjoyed it, bless them. Bless them for enjoying it. I will say it was for a good cause. It's for your local animal shelter.
And of course, I'm all for supporting the local animal shelter so that the cats don't come into my home.
Well, Steve, you have a pride that lived in your home for years.
Yes, I have quite a few cats in this house, and watching them and narrating them is certainly a joyous moment, but I couldn't imagine paying for a movie ticket to watch YouTube videos. This is something that I think about all the time with my students, is the America's Funniest Home Videos that we sort of enjoyed in the late 80s, early 90s. That is their entertainment. My students love the short, very short, silly videos like this.
Well, it humanizes the experience that that everyone has. And certainly, you know, our hope is no one gets seriously hurt or anything. There was this, cats are incredibly resourceful. They can open doors, they can come through ceilings, all sorts of things that they do. And yes, I can understand why young people enjoy this. But then again, like I said, there's a group of people that truly enjoy them. Mm-hmm. And I just want to send a special message out to Henry, the French cat that must live his life, Steve, looking at the idiots around him. He suffers, Steve. He suffers in French.
I can understand the joy of the narration, the writing on that particular clip. We'll put it in the show notes and you can watch it too. But yeah, I can't imagine sitting through an hour and a half of watching YouTube videos of very short clips of cats.
Imbeciles.
This is why I don't like YouTube. This is why I don't like YouTube. It's just that over and over and over again. Yes, there's some gems.
But actually, it's not. There are high production value shows now, and the shows are getting even more production to them. So at one time, that was the case, but it's certainly not the case now. There's real money involved.
So it's just me railing against something that no longer exists. There you go.
Steve, you sound like an old man.
You
have taken the point. I'm the curmudgeon, Steve. I'm the curmudgeon.
You kids and your cat videos.
Steve, I'm not the only one who got to watch something this week. You got to revisit something. Tell us a little bit about Fletch.
I finally got a chance to watch Confess Fletch. This was released almost exactly to the day 1 year ago in theaters. I didn't make it to the theater a year ago to watch this, and I regret it. This is now available on Paramount Plus, you know, the Star Trek channel, and it is Fletch. It is based on the second Fletch book, which was published in 1976, but it is definitely updated for 2022. Fletch this time is not Chevy Chase from the 1985 Fletch movie, but Fletch is portrayed here by John Hamm. Extremely handsome, very likable John Hamm.
All right, so tell me a little bit about this. And I love how you said Paramount Plus, the channel.
The Star Trek
channel. Steve, that's called a streaming service.
The Star Trek channel. It's the Star Trek channel. That's where I go for all
the
my
Star Trek streaming service. There is no channel.
I'm an old man, and that's a channel.
You really have embraced this curmudgeon moment.
Welcome to Steve's curmudgeon episode.
By the way, John Hamm seems like a great choice to play Fletch.
Perfect. Literally perfect. As handsome as he is, he has the comic chops to give us this comedic detective character.
And did he play him like Chevy Chase played him, nope, where you're kind of just kind of out there?
The character is just kind of out there. Chevy Chase gave this character a face in 1985 from the 1970s novels. John Hamm is just as adept at giving us the visuals for this character. He embodies the character of Fletch that I loved from these novels in the 70s. He gives us all of that side comedy where the situation is dire. You know, there's a murder. There's multiple murders. And Fletch is stuck in the middle, and he gives us that sideways little joking way of delivering these lines that maybe the characters aren't hearing, only the audience is hearing, because he's kind of whispering the joke part of the murders.
So just to put it into perspective, Steve, you mean these 50-year-old books that you've been reading?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's updated. They really did a great job of updating the 1976 idea of Fletch to 2023. In fact, one of my favorite quotes, I wrote down three of my favorite quotes here, Chip. One of my favorite quotes is he continually introduces himself as a former investigative reporter of some repute. That is a common line that he says three or four times in the script. He says it's an occupation that has been cheapened by the digital age, like president. I found that absolutely hilarious. That is a way of thinking about 2023 and what has changed in 50 years.
Exactly. And, you know, my favorite quote was, just text that to me.
He's not.
That's how they brought it up to speed, Steve. They're like, hey, I could give you the address, but just text it to me.
He takes Lyft everywhere he goes. That is part of the script. Is he's always changing cars, and it makes a lot easier in the digital age. He just gets a different Lyft and goes on his way and evades the police in such unbelievable, fantastic ways. Getting out of a lift in the middle of a bridge and walking the other direction and waving at the police that are following him. This is a fun, fun investigative reporter sort of story. I think that all of our Gen X friends will love this movie.
How lovely.
The other quote, I just want to give you the other quote. He says, I'm sure the Italian police are working around the clock on this. Or at least near a clock. This is so...
That sounds like a Chevy Chase line, Steve.
Chevy Chase did this character right. This character, as written, is that person. Chevy Chase portrayed this character the right way. John Hamm does a great job. We get Marcia Gay Harden in this in a very silly role. Kyle MacLachlan is in this, a very gray Kyle MacLachlan, but at the same time, I'm still looking at him like, yeah, that's Dale Cooper. I could see Twin Peaks in that guy. And then Roy Wood Jr. is the bumbling investigator who is actually trying to solve the crime while Fletch does all the work. I think our audience will love this movie. Confess Fletch. It's on Paramount Plus. Get that.
Book it, book it, book it. Book it, book it, book it. Book it. Book it.
Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. Our conversations usually revolve around certain topics, Chip, and you have continued your research. You've read Zeconomy, How Gen Z Will Change the Future of Business and What to Do About It. This was published in 2020 by Jason Dorsey and Denise Villa.
Yeah, this is a very interesting book because, as you can imagine, Gen Zs are now entering the workforce. The oldest one right now is about, 24. They're in high school. You're probably dealing with the alphas or whatever they name them.
We're right on the cusp in my school because that Zoomer, that Gen Z, that spans the 11-year-olds to the 26-year-olds. So in my class, I have 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, and 13-year-olds. So they're right on that cusp between the Zoomers and Generation Alpha.
And if we remember from our book that we read a few weeks ago about how we divide these groups or how we determine, it certainly can be very floaty. Mm-hmm. There's no definitive moment, but usually technology. And when the technology reaches your era. So when technology changes, this is usually, once again, where we're going to make a dividing line. Gen Z is my children. Gen Z is your children. Mm-hmm. They grew up in a time where technology was always available. And even if they didn't have a smartphone, many of them got smartphones pretty early. As we discussed previously, that's created a number of challenges. In fact, the number of young people who have considered harming themselves and killing themselves is very, very high. That actually can be correlated mm-hmm. with the introduction of smartphones. Mm-hmm. So this is there's some real negative things, but this is also something that is very good about this group. They have spent their entire life using social media and particularly things like YouTube to go out and explore the world. So they want to know how to make a barbecue, take a piece of pork and make it into real barbecue. They'll go watch a bunch of videos and then they'll say, hey, dad, mom, let's do this. And they'll do it. If they want to learn how to build something, they're as likely to go to YouTube and learn how to do it. They also interact with each other through all sorts of apps and all sorts of texting and any number of things. The old school way of doing things of like, hey, fill out this paper application is long gone, Steve, long gone.
And as a teacher of this age, I am seeing some of the ramifications of those things. They are not willing to sit through me explaining something to them. They want a video. And we, the teachers, are creating all sorts of videos to give them the information that they need.
So the education system is modern, Steve, because you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. Gen Z can suffer from anxiety. They like to kind of know what's going on, and they like to be kind of in the loop. And so to be able to come into a school or a work environment and have somebody who may be their peer or just a little older kind of take their hand and say, this is how we do things. Mm-hmm. Or watch a video, like your first day of school, this is what's going to happen. Or your first day of work, this is what's going to happen. It really impacts them very deeply.
And the other part of that is sometimes they feel like they should be expert at everything because they have at their disposal all of this instruction. And sometimes they fail and they get very, very frustrated because they feel like they should be successful on the first try.
Yeah. And there's the perspective that this is where time comes. And as they learn to be wise, because mm-hmm. even if you had the best instructions in the world, you know, think about what the Khan Academy has allowed me to do and allowed you to do. Most of us don't use those types of deep mathematics on a daily basis. We may use the results of it. But if you had to go and sit down and relearn it, would you pull out a textbook or would you go to something like the Khan Academy and have them do a few problems in front of you, show sort of the logic of it, and then you can attempt to solve it? And this is exactly where I think the frustration comes from. Because just because I watched something, just because I watched a video of a race car driver, doesn't mean I'm an expert race car driver.
Right.
Although don't we see it in the news every once in a while? Like somebody will steal a plane and they're up flying up in the sky. And all of a sudden the air traffic controllers are like, you got to land that thing. And they're like, well, now I'm nervous.
Right.
Well, you That's should be.
Yeah, no kidding. That
there's
is
a
the
reason why there's training sure. going on.
Right. Yeah, I see this all the time in class with these students, that they believe that they know better than anybody else.
Well, here's where it really works out real well. If you can figure out a way to bring a young person in, you can reward them on the level that they needed to be rewarded. So, hey, for the next month, this is what I need you to do. And if you do this, this is what you get in return.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then make sure that they get feedback. And the feedback doesn't have to be constantly like, let's sit down for a half hour thing. It could be like, I really like the way you completed this task. You've shown that you've mastered it. They're fine. All of a sudden, life is good for them. And then they like to have a definitive path to growth. And this may be where it becomes a little more challenging, because on those entry-level jobs, listen, if you're frying a burger, okay, it's like your fry guy and then your hamburger person. Well, that seems pretty easy. But many small businesses, it's kind of like where the business takes you. By the way, in this book, they say that Gen Z likes working with larger corporations.
Hmm.
They like working with big companies because they have definitive paths.
Interesting. Now,
this is going to be a real challenge, because many businesses, most businesses, are small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a big company, like you're, I don't know, a Chase or a Citibank, you know, that works out real well for you. But if you're a mom and pop, you know, we do excavating and this is, you know, what we do, and we've got two pieces of equipment and we've got to juggle all these other things going on, that could be a real challenge for Gen Z, because it's much more, I don't know, free flowing.
Hmm.
And so that is something I really thought of. This book was incredibly helpful. It helped me this weekend. We had I'm serving on a committee. I work with some college students, and they're Gen Z, right? And we are on a big Discord group, and we're also on a text group. We get a bunch of texts back and forth. We got a big text from, you know, a person who is from a different generation. And I immediately responded to that. And I said, hey, I bet those kids are at the game this weekend. And they were. And I immediately got a text back going, yeah, we're having a great time. And so I don't, you know, big text with expectations probably are not good on Saturday during the game, but it's basically a support, just being aware of what's going on, tailoring to what they need. And then when they have the things that they need to get done, giving them the flexibility to do it on their time. So if they want to do it Saturday night, they want to do it Sunday morning, they want to do it Sunday afternoon, you know, those are certainly reasonable. It's their time. They just need to have it done.
And they absolutely see that as a issue, that their time is their time. And we of other generations might be willing to do work off the clock. They are not, for sure.
Well, in fact, that's one of the beautiful things about this generation. They want to be present for their work time. Mm-hmm. They want to enjoy their off time. They want flexibility on their working hours to be able to work it as they need to. They want to be held accountable to their work standard. But if you say to them, hey, you're going to dress in this uniform and you're going to be here at this time and stuff like that, for many of them, it's going to be a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. If you're running a service business, that's a real issue. But if you're running an office, listen, if they do it in the evening because that's the best time, and in the morning they like to exercise, I think you're going to have to be a little more flexible with that. And I think that this generation is going to do what previous generations wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And that's basically push back and say, hey, listen, I'm willing to work hard and I like reaching goals. But at the same time, this is not the only part of my life. Mental health days mm-hmm. are part of my life, and taking care of myself makes me a good person. Listen, we've taught this. They're the generation that's putting it into action.
I agree.
They're a pretty small group as far as a generation, but they're going to be a very powerful group, because unlike millennials and Gen X, they are going to force change. And I think that some of the challenges we're seeing in the news, particularly with, you know, what was going on at Disney with the bill that was being proposed in Florida, I think Chapek got caught right in the middle of it. Like, hey, listen, you guys say that you're inclusive and that you accept people for who they are, and think about who is an employee of Disney. You get a lot of young people. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of people working in the arts. You get a lot of talent. At the same time, you know, they're appealing to the public who may not be as progressive as they are. And what ended up creating was a big divide. And that's where boomers are like, we're going to push back.
Yeah, you need to get in line and do this. And the zoomers are like, no, I really don't. I can really go somewhere else.
And that's exactly mm-hmm. with the shortage of employment that we have and their desire to put their values, when I'm talking about Gen X, on the line, that's exactly where they're pushing back. Mm-hmm. And this is going to only escalate as boomers get older. And what it is older people, as you get older, you become more conservative. You're like, I don't like change as much. I encourage all people to remain young and just basically go through and learn how the current generation is, because there's your dividing line right there. If you want to know the difference between boomers and Gen X, ask them how to do something. You want to know the difference between Gen X and Gen Z, do the same thing. Mm-hmm. It is, there's a huge dividing line in that. And it's important to recognize that doesn't have to be the deciding factor, but it's got to be part of the factor.
Mm-hmm. You have done a great first level of education theory here, Chip. You understand what it's like to be a teacher, to be a Gen X, talking to a group of Gen Zs and finding that common ground, finding what they need and giving them the motivation to get to the next level. That's what I do all day long.
And that's what you want to do in any, I don't know, business. If you're trying to communicate with people, you meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. And if you can give them a layup every time, give them the layup.
Okay. If you need analogy, is that basketball?
It is a sports analogy. Good. You want to make it easy for them.
Thank you.
You want to make it easy for them to communicate. You want to make it easy for them to accomplish what they need to do. That doesn't mean they're not learning. But if you take the steps properly, you'll get them where they need to be. But if you're constantly insisting it's that your way or no way, unless, like I said, unless you're in some position where it's, there are processes to follow. Mm-hmm. And there are times when you can't sit down. Listen, if we're in a military situation and it's dangerous, we're not having a debate of whatever. Our mission is to take that hill, and we're not giving a philosophy moment on the theory of it. We are to do this. Mm-hmm. And if you put the team in danger, well, you're expendable at that moment. So most of us are never in those positions.
But we do have security issues in the schools. We do have dangerous situations where the children need to listen and do what the adults say for their security, for their safety. Those moments are challenging in our schools. So how will Gen Z change the future of business? We've kind of covered that here. So what do we do about it? We get them where they are and go with them mostly, right?
Well, a lot of the times, if you say that you value something, you've got to demonstrate you value things. Mm. So it's going to be like, hey, you said that it's real important for us to be, let's say we need our electricity to be very efficient. Well, there are times where electricity is not efficient because, hey, we needed something to get us to this point. But over a period of time, LED lights would be a great example of that. Or to work in an environment that is zero net carbon, because maybe that's important to them. To have foods that are healthy for you. I mean, when they talk about killing fast food and soft drinks and stuff like that, well, they recognize those are poison. Now, millennials did too, but Gen Z is saying, hey, listen, why are you feeding me poison?
Mm-hmm.
As they eat a bunch of Cheez-Its.
The chemical-based things that we Generation X might look at and go, why don't you just have sugar? Sugar's great.
They're like, no, avocado toast, Dad.
Yes. No salt. Don't put any salt on that. Salt is also poison. Yeah.
Who said that?
Salt is terrible.
Salt is not terrible. Salt is part of what humans need. The point is not to have too much.
Precisely. That's the point. This is a conversation that we have been having for a very long time on this show. And the idea of working with young people is something that's very important to both of us. So I hope that everybody out there is working with Generation Z and not against them and vice versa.
We all learn how to communicate better when we understand where these people are come from.
Mm-hmm.
So, we don't talk to grandparents over YouTube, but Gen Z would probably be a great place to work over YouTube.
That's our potential audience right there. The Gen Zs, all of those kids that are learning, that are getting the information that they need. That's Z Economy, how Gen Z will change the future of business and what to do about it. It was published in 2020 by Jason Dorsey and Denise Villa.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our Scroll With It. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts this week, Chip, and one of them is a new one called Strike Force 5. This is 5 of the late night talk show hosts creating a weekly podcast to support their massive staffs who are all out of work during the writer's strike.
Wow. That would be something I wouldn't listen to, Steve.
You're not into the late night talk show hosts are not a thing in 2023 anymore. It used to be a big part of our culture, right?
At one time it was. It's now a YouTube video if you want to see a clip, but it's just not something that's important to me.
The hundreds of people that work for these massive TV shows are all out of work due to the writer's strike. So Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers, and John Oliver have all come together to all talk at the same time on a podcast.
Well, they're all very, very talented.
Uh-huh.
So there's no doubt about that. And, you know, the idea, it doesn't look like this writer strike is going to end anytime soon.
Agreed.
It's just going to keep going. They've talked about bringing some AI in.
That is one of the issues of the writer strike, for sure. And one of the episodes of Strike Force 5, they use AI and they create spots, advertisements for their advertisers using the voices of these five guys. And the five guys are stunned into silence as to how perfect that AI was able to create this text with their voices. So they themselves are stunned by what AI can do in 2023.
Well, it's certainly going to be something to be aware of, particularly if you do like social media and you're getting your stuff from social media,
mm-hmm.
because if you can't tell what's real and what's not,
they take Ryan Reynolds' voice and they create an ad with Ryan Reynolds' voice and have him say awful things on this podcast. And they comment, wow, that sounds just like Ryan Reynolds. And that's dangerous. That's potentially slanderous to voice an AI in the voice of somebody else, putting words in that person's mouth that he did not say. This has got big potential.
Think about it as a law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you responsible? Could you deny that you made a statement? You certainly could. The burden of proof is on the believer of that.
Sure.
But this creates a really weird world because you could say, I didn't say that. Like, I'm suing you for saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say that. How do you prove I said it? Well, I don't know, Steve. This is going to create some weird, weird situations. Particularly, think about where real money becomes on the table, you know, elections and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You could easily, it sounds like very easily, create a situation where, you can make someone say anything.
Yeah. Finally, we got to Chip as the curmudgeon part of the show. Good.
Ah!
Technology is taking over.
Well, Steve, you know what? It made it a little uncomfortable this week because Jimmy Fallon got in the news, Steve.
Yeah, there is a new headline out of Rolling Stone that Jimmy Fallon is facing accusations of a toxic workplace on The Tonight Show, that he suffers from outbursts and unexpected, inconsistent behavior, and some of the people on his staff are tired of putting up with him. So Jimmy Fallon might be in some trouble with that role on The Tonight Show.
It could be. Sounds a lot like Ellen DeGeneres.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just get a little bit too full of yourself and you create a barrier between you and your staff. And this is where you have to be very, very aware that regardless of pay grade, regardless of where you are, I understand talent's talent and producers are producers. And I understand also getting people in the right mindset, but you can't really destroy the people around you who are making this possible, making you look good.
Certainly goes back to your book about Gen Z and getting people motivated in the way that they need to be motivated.
Well, and Gen Z's statement of, well, I'm not going to put up with this.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about a group that will... Listen, they may be a small group, but they'll be an organized group.
Mm-hmm.
They will cancel you out. Pretty soon you are Bud Light.
Oh, boy. Speaking of AI and how we need to be thinking about the future of technology, the IRS has deployed an AI to catch tax evasion.
Yeah, especially if you are doing something that is a little more complex. They're going to be looking for, you know, and what that means are private companies, large hedge funds, private equity, real estate investors, law firms. And the idea is your accounting group is doing what they think is legal,
mm-hmm.
But they will notice patterns. Obviously, when you have data that you can roll through, You can crawl for data, and if they start seeing patterns and inconsistencies, well, they'll start calling it out. This is dangerous. No one wants to be on the other side of an IRS audit.
Hmm. Especially if you are not nefariously skirting the law. If they are finding something that you did not think of, that's even more frightening to me.
Tax law is incredibly complex.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes where you put something and how you put it into your books allows you to do certain things. And there's a lot of gray in this. So a lot of it is self-reporting.
Mm-hmm.
AI is taking large amounts of data. Steve, they could take large amounts of data on you. And it's not just the IRS, any group. And they could potentially, you know, if you create something that's too tight,
mm-hmm.
okay, you get a response for it. They'll just, well, if you feel this is what I'm going to do, I'm not turning in my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You want voluntary movement towards this. You make it too tight, then you create some real problems. You make it too loose, you create some, you want this sort of, there's a magic to it that you kind of want to follow.
Mm-hmm.
What they're assuming is that lots of companies are taking significant amount of liberties and the government is going to have a boon on this.
Mm.
I can promise you that as tight as they put it, there will be alternatives that will the market will create that's going to make it even more challenging. All of a sudden, you got people offshore or something, and they'll just it just won't be part of the economy.
I agree.
No, you want it to be above board. Like I said, I'm assuming they're going to catch a bunch of people who took some liberties, and yes, it's going to be beneficial for it. The response to that may not be as the way they want it.
Speaking of governments wanting things the way they want it, China has banned iPhone use for government officials at work.
Now, this is real important to kind of follow the other stuff. Yeah, it looks like things are escalating between the U.S. and China.
Right.
Huawei introduced their new phones this week. They just found out that the semiconductors came from, was it South Korea? Came from someone. They were like, how did they get them? Because there's a ban on those types of semiconductors.
Hmm.
Huawei equipment has been, telecommunications equipment has been banned in the United States
mm-hmm.
For a number of years. So all of a sudden you are creating challenges. And the way it's looking, it's rightfully so. Obviously, espionage is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And China feels that the iPhone, being a U.S.-based company, is part of what they would call espionage. Now, Apple can deny it all they want, but they have a lot to lose here. Apple's got a lot to lose here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we are starting to see, it's not, Cold War-ish. We're starting to get a divide in the world, and we'll see where this ends up taking us. I just mentioned that China had oil that was going to China was intercepted by the U.S. military.
Hmm.
Well, that just happened Saturday morning.
Hmm.
Well, these types of things are showing that we're getting some escalation going on in the world. I hope this doesn't end in war, but it's starting to look more and more like that we're going to, that China being under a single leader who is getting information from that for that single leader as a opposed many of its opposition is looking to for more and more and more control.
Hmm.
This is not good.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, that we need to think globally on these things and work together instead of separating everybody. I agree on that.
Well, the United States has opened up the world.
Mm-hmm.
China's choosing this. This is a China choice.
Mm. Mm. You know what Batman would do?
Steve, there would be a celebration for Batman this week.
Happy Batman Day this week. It is September 16th, celebration of Batman and all sorts of fun things. DC has put together all sorts of fun things, including the 4K version of the Mask of the Phantasm movie, which is just a phenomenal film, is coming out this year.
That's a Bruce Timm film, right?
Yes. Bruce Timm, the Batman, the animated series, my Batman, Kevin Conroy. This is the first year that we'll be celebrating Batman Day without Kevin Conroy. He passed away last year.
Well, Steve, what if I wanted to listen to some of the music from like the 1989 Batman film?
That is one of my favorite movies of all time. The joy of 1989 and the music that Oingo Boingo, not quite Oingo Boingo, but Danny Elfman score. You can get tickets to go see a full live symphony orchestra perform that music while watching the Batman movie. It's in concert across the country, around the world, really. They're going to Europe as well. I wish that they were coming to Chicago. I hope that they will add Chicago to this list.
Well, my closest performance would be up in Washington, D.C.
Hmm.
So your closest performance in the Chicago area is Flint, Michigan, Steve.
In February of 2024. I don't...
Never an issue, Steve. Never an issue.
I think I'm driving to Flint, Michigan in February. I think the odds of the weather being against me there are pretty strong. I love the idea of a live symphony orchestra playing music. You might remember Weird Al toured and he went to cities across the country and grabbed the local symphony orchestra and they played Weird Al music, and it was glorious to hear all of that cacophony of music all put together. It was wonderful. I would love to watch Batman. Who are you? I'm Batman. I would love to watch that with the symphony orchestra. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think we can. We would love to hear from you. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Threads and X.com, Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenplow.
I'm Batman. We'll see you in the future.